All right, 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. Great.
So you're the victim, the guy that made the comment, the nice comment to me. I'm like, I get, you know, when you start something like this, podcasting or anything, and someone actually gives you some positive feedback, you're like, yes. And I reached out and I said, thank you. I really appreciate that. Why don't you come on the podcast?
Yeah. Well, as I was just telling you, I listened to tons of them.
Do you?
And always had the idea. I was thinking of doing one myself.
I'll help you.
My idea was similar to yours, but I was going to speak to creative people, you know, artists and musicians and photographers and locally. When I heard yours, I was glad you did. I don't think I'd be as good at it as you are.
Oh, stop. I bet you'd be fantastic. You know, I think we're always hard on ourselves. If you ask me, I don't think I do a great job, but I do get some feedback that says I do.
Well,
okay.
You know, I've been listening to a bunch of yours, and it's interesting to hear. There's people, as you know, living here, there's people you know.
Yeah.
You recognize them,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know them.
Right.
You might not even know their name. And so, you know, the first one I heard was Ryan from Rise.
He's
I go to Rise.
Yeah.
So I see Ryan all the time, but we've never
spoken. Pumped up, I see you.
Yeah, I wish, yeah.
Well, you look good.
Only been going for a year. So,
nice.
So I'm a work in progress.
Well, and Ryan's a great guy. And, you know, do you know Ryan?
No. I mean, we've never, to this day, I've never spoken, but I know of him because I see him all the time. And he's pretty, you see him around. He's a visible guy.
Ryan's a terrific guy. And, you know, what I love about Ryan is he's just always got something in the fire.
Yeah.
I've known Ryan for probably 10, 15 years. I don't know. I used to actually cut his wife's hair many, many years ago. And, you know, when Ryan was doing this, Ryan was doing that. And I go, Ryan, why don't you come on the podcast? He's like, I don't know, man. I don't think I have anything to say. And I go, well, Ryan, you've been a big inspiration to me to go out and open a small business, mm-hmm. go out and take some risks, you know, try different things.
Yeah,
I see you do it.
He has a really interesting backstory.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have known about without.
Right. And so when I told him he was an inspiration, he goes, oh, maybe I can do it. That's the one great thing about Ryan. And I, you know what? First of all, introduce yourself.
My name is Neil Perry. I live in Lewis. I'm a photographer.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And when you told me you're a photographer, I was like, you're coming on the podcast because I love photography. But I like, because, you know, when I first started the podcast, the premise was one small business helping another.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've also learned is now we're kind of giving a little bit of a bridge from the people that you see on the streets and what you think they are and then the business that they have. But there's not a lot of information on how they got there, you know, the risk, the fear, the scary nights, the long days, you know.
Of which there are many.
And there are. And, you know, and I'm finding that kind of it is one small business helping another. I just was on the phone with the girl from her that they own Smoking D's, the barbecue place right there at the corner.
Yep.
And, of course, they have a barbecue place. Of course, we know who they are. They've been around forever. I've known them. They've been big support. Like, my niece was in a car accident. You know, they did a benefit for her. So I've known them forever. But, you know, the podcast gives them the ability to just kind of share their journey.
Yeah.
And the journey, I think, is kind of because there's a lot of people that are right on the first step of a journey that they're just scared to death to try.
Right.
And you try it, and, you know, sometimes you have success, failure, whatever. But, you know, I think with every failure, there's still a little success.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm somewhat convinced that the people that end up whatever their version of making it is, the people that manage to succeed are usually the people that just kind of stuck it out.
Yeah.
Many more people don't stick it out. And there's it's difficult. There are a lot of reasons to quit sometimes, you know, whether they're financial or whatever it is.
Well, even the first step is scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was good friends with Matt. I don't know if you knew Matt Haley.
I knew of him. Didn't know him.
So he was a good friend of mine through sobriety because I am a sober person, and he wouldn't mind me saying he was too. But I used to talk to him a lot, and I'm like, yeah, damn salon I work at, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, dude, if you either open a salon or shut up.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay. And he goes, do you want some help? And I said, okay. And he put me in touch with like Rhonda Myers over at Community Bank. You know, he pushed me.
Yeah.
And it was scary. I remember the first week, and there was actually money in the account. I called him. I go, you wouldn't believe it. There's money in this account. Yeah. And he's like, well, have you paid the bills? I go, oh, no. And he goes, then there's no money.
Yeah, right. You don't have anything.
But, you know, he was that guy that just kind of pushed me along. And, you know, and it's been tough 10 years later. you know, I don't know if you saw, but I had Preston on the podcast, mm-hmm. Preston Schell, and the main reason that I wanted Preston on is to just say thank you,
mm-hmm.
because I had to go into the big office to see Preston at one time,
yeah.
and plead my case and see if he would lease me a spot.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And because this is a spot he leased me, and I had to say, you know, thank you. You know, you took a chance on me.
Yeah.
And not many people did at that time, and he did. And I just wanted to say publicly thank you.
Yeah. And it was nice of you to do that. But, you know, I have, on a smaller scale, but I have similar things. I have people that, before I had any business really taking money for my work, to offer me money for my work. Allows you to build a portfolio, which allows you to practice, allows you to go out and find more clients. And
well, first you have to give a lot of stuff away, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I still do, to a degree. You know,
not to interrupt you because I apologize, Neil, but no, do you have a business that you are a business photographer? Do you do that as a business?
Yeah. It's okay. Full time. Yep.
Cool. Does it have a name?
It's NDP Photography.
NDP.
So, yeah, those are my initials, Neil David Perry.
That makes sense. That's like Thomas David Salon.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's original.
Also, there's a photographer in England with the exact same Neil Perry in the same spelling, and he's a photographer.
Well, I changed the name of my salon is the Thomas David Salon because my real name is David Thomas, but there's a guy that had a Wendy's place.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I kind of want to be the Dave Thomas Salon.
Yeah, yeah.
So I swapped it around. But yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, so you have to find a way to...
Not funny, interesting.
Yeah, you have to find a way to separate yourself from the other guy. So,
yeah.
My middle initial, and that's the name of the business. So yeah.
And photography is great. And, you know, it does allow you to give a lot of stuff away.
It does. And, you know, I did that for years, and then I started selling big canvas. I started out doing landscape, so just, you know, shooting all the beaches and everything else. And there's a lot more people doing that now. Which is fine. There's a lot of really good work.
Well, there's a lot of iPhones.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of that too.
I tell you what, though, we just went through 3 days of photographer hell with an iPhone. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, we just had full moon.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And that's you know, we're all photographers till it's time to take a picture of the full moon.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And I used to work for many years. When I started this business, I bartended at Obie's.
Okay.
On the boardwalk.
That was one of my last drunks.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
You and many people, I'm
sure. Yeah, you might have been that guy.
Maybe. But, you know, the full moon comes up over the ocean.
Absolutely.
5,000 people on the boards with their iPhones, and I'm just looking at them going, not one good picture is coming out.
Nope. You know what I've been doing? Are you familiar with Urban Float?
Yes. I'm going to be going soon.
Oh, yeah. Did you get a Father's Day?
No.
Are you a father?
I'm not, no.
I'm sorry.
By the way, happy Father's Day. I know you are from listening. So.
Thank you, sir.
No, my birthday, my girlfriend bought me a gift certificate.
It is awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to going, and I'm holding off until September because that's going to be the busiest month for me. And in September, I'm going to take the time to use that.
Do it this weekend. What are you talking about? Go down there right now. Oh, shit, that just ended because they were doing... 2 for $79. You do it in September, but it's a great.
I will get there one way or the other.
But I bought one for my wife, and we did it for Mother's Day, and then I said I want that for Father's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
So and then I bought my father-in-law one too. So, but the guy that owns it, Carlos, super cool guy. Mm-hmm. But he was a big he was involved with GoPro.
Okay, yeah.
And we just did a podcast on it. I don't know if you heard it.
Didn't get to listen to that one yet, but yeah.
He, you know, I love GoPro, and so for the last 3 days I've been, you know, the new Hero 7, new mm-hmm. GoPro 7. It won't take a picture of the moon, but it does, it has like a night time-lapse photography.
Mm-hmm.
So I was setting it up, and it takes a great picture of all like the trees in the dark, but the moon still looks blurry. It still sucks. Yeah. So, and I have, you know what, I have a Nikon. I have a real camera,
mm-hmm.
and I've been on YouTube to try to figure out, you know, there's people that will tell you all the settings and how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still can't do it. I've never taken a picture of the damn moon.
It is difficult. It isn't an easy thing to do. I was, I actually did take a picture of the moon in the last couple of days because I was out behind my house and I looked up and it was framed between the trees perfectly. And I went out, ran inside and get the camera and I haven't looked at him yet, so I have no idea if it's any good yet. But
that's the same thing. It was framed between two trees. I got two great tree pictures, but the crappy moon picture.
Yeah, just a big white, you know, splotch in the middle of the.
Well, we're not going to go. We won't make this about, you know, how much do you hate the iPhone? Because I
can tell you this. The only time I hate them is when I'm standing at the back. I shoot weddings also.
Yeah.
So when I'm standing in the back shooting a wedding and there's 400 iPhones in front of me.
Yes.
So I encourage people to have no phones at their weddings.
It makes sense.
That, you know, it's going to be better for the picture.
Well, remember the old days where they used to put the disposable one?
The little yellow.
Yeah, they used to put the disposable on everybody's table, yeah. And then everybody just kind of snaps fun pictures of the party, and then you kind of go through them afterwards and laugh. I think that's still kind of fun.
They still do it occasionally, too. Yeah, because you get to, they're all going to be silly, drunken, late night pictures in most cases, and they're always fun to look at.
I've been into photography, and I'm not a photographer like you. I am a hairdresser who has an iPhone, but I love, I'm a big runner. Mm-hmm. I haven't been running as much, but 2 years ago, I was actually since 99, big runner. But, you know, we would get up at 5 a.m, we'd go run Gordon's Pond, and, you know, the sun comes up, and if it's the water's perfectly still, and you get a great shot, people would be like, oh my God, you're such a great photographer.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, I don't think that I'm a photographer. I just think I was dumb enough to get up at 5:30 a.m. and be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Because that is the shot.
Yeah. It's a big piece of it. I mean, it's just, you know, getting up early, staying up late, being up in the middle, whatever it is. Just being there when it counts is a big piece of it.
I took a picture with a good camera at the time. I was down at the beach and some Mennonites, I guess they're Mennonites because they drive. Is that how that works?
I believe so.
So there was a group of Mennonites down at the beach. It was sunrise. The seagulls were like after a fish. And so I was standing there and this guy, a Mennonite gentleman, walks up. If I'm saying that wrong, forgive me. I don't even know what the hell I'm saying, but you know what I'm talking about. They didn't come in a horse and buggy. They drove down. And he's like, hey, good morning. I'm like, how you doing, buddy? And, you know, we were chatting. Beautiful day. And his family all dressed. Oh, bro, shut that door.
Yeah.
That damn phone. Sorry. It shows you how low budget we are. His whole family was coming down to the beach to kind of join him. You know, and they were dressed in their hood, you know, like bonnets and stuff. And I was like, all right, buddy, we'll have a great day. And I walked around and walked in front of him to the left and came around, and they had all kind of gathered right there. And I just took my camera and kneeled down and just took a picture.
Yeah.
And it's the coolest freaking picture I've ever taken. And I'll send it to you
if you care to see it.
Absolutely. But it was just this moment. And it's my favorite picture. Well, and I also took a picture of a seagull eating a cracker, but he was right in my face.
Yeah.
With that camera, right? Those shots you don't get with an iPhone.
No.
But you also, you know, you need to take like a photography class if you're going to really...
Yeah, I mean, the good news is now you can learn everything on YouTube, so...
Yeah.
You know, it's all there. Everything that you could want to learn is there. I mean, there is, you know, having a pretty good eye is hard to teach on YouTube, but the technical stuff, you can find that.
Well, and there's a difference between a classic-looking photo done by a photographer rather than a picture taken by a person with an iPhone. I mean, you can still get a decent photo with a picture with an iPhone, but, you know, people that have that do that in their business, they just know what to look for, and you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the iPhone technically is completely sound. It takes great pictures, the colors are good, all that, and it does it all for you, which is nice. But you're absolutely right. I mean, most pictures that you see, people just casually taking pictures, are just that. They're very casual. They weren't thought through. The light wasn't thought through, you know,
right,
all
exactly.
Those kind of things. So, and you just referred to them, to the picture you took as that moment, and that's, to me, what it really is, just a series of moments. Even if you're shooting a wedding, it's
tender moments.
Yeah, or just knowing when to, even if it's a silly moment, knowing when to click the shutter, just knowing when to be there and, you know, picking those moments, that's what's going to separate you from amateurs, basically,
hey,
I suppose.
That's me. I'm an amateur. You know, so you know what I did? I just said, F it, I'm going to get a drone, and I'll fly it 100 feet into the air, and I'll take that picture, get that picture.
Yeah.
Well, the drone, we won't even get into drones, because that business is struggling, I think. But what I really want to talk about is podcasting, because... You know, I'm always interested, and you put it in the note that you sent me, which I thank you, by the way. I thought that was very cool, and I always appreciate anybody who takes a second to just say something positive, because people like to say a lot of negative stuff. I don't give them the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But so thank you. But you mentioned that there was like a void of kind of that in our area. I guess we have radio and then we have like Facebook, but we don't really have a podcast that's going on around here.
Right. And that's what that's what, you know, drove me to find it. I think I found your Facebook page and that led me to and you already had a bunch up by the time I found it. So mm-hmm. I was able to, which I actually love that. You can go back and listen to a bunch. You don't have to wait for the next one.
Right, exactly.
I don't, you know, I listen to one radio show now, and it's because it's a friend of mine, and he does a reggae music show, which I like that music, so
nice.
I listen to him. That's it, though.
Yeah, man.
This conversation here couldn't take place on radio.
No.
We'd have to break to, you know, Bob's tire.
And you have to sit there in your car, and, you know, if you got things to do, but you're like, you want to finish, you know, hearing the radio interview. So.
It always comes to an abrupt end. It's not a conversation which you can do with this format. So
well, I think that if you're going to pay to be on radio, you have probably have a little bit of an agenda, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the point.
Yep.
This is agenda free here. Kind of. I mean, listen, if someone has an agenda, and I say that and every time I say the word agenda, I feel like it's a bad thing, and it's not. It's just the problem with an agenda is that if it's like. Like I had the Karen from Sposada Wine, who I love Karen. She's a firecracker, man, and I dig her spirit and her drive. But I'm not a wine professional.
Yeah,
you know, and I can't. I was like, yeah, the soil makes it acidly.
I remember that.
Acidically? Acidic. Acidic, that's what I meant, you know.
I was driving in my truck yelling at the radio, acidic.
Acidic. And I, you know, but I'm also putting myself out there. Look, I'll always say I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm just doing the best I can. But I had a brain freeze, and I'm like, acidically? Acidic. And I know that because I actually have a degree in turf management, so I'm all about acidic soil. I know all about that, but... I just couldn't say it at the time. So
that stuff's good, though. I mean, you know, someone would be tempted to edit something like that out. I think it's good that it's in the show. You leave it all there.
Yeah, there's no editing. Yeah. I did a vlog for 140 videos with the drone and music and mm-hmm. time lapse, and I was just a prisoner to editing.
Oh, yeah. Tell
and I'm like, I'm not editing. 3, 2, 1, go. Let's chat.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
And
I wish I didn't have to edit, but unfortunately, it's most of my time is. In front of the computer editing pictures, so.
Yeah. Well, you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Paid is okay.
I don't complain. I really try hard not to complain. I'm a very lucky boy.
How do you like, doing time lapse?
Yeah, I've actually done a bunch with the GoPros years ago, and.
Did you see any of the time lapse? We'll have to become friends on Facebook, like real friends, because I do a lot of time lapse.
Yeah, I
with
love
GoPro.
It. It's fascinating to look at, you know. And I just, bought a new Fuji camera, which is good for that. So I'm going to try some more.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You have to tell me how that works because I did a lot of, you know, I buy iPhones and then when their 2 years is up and I get to get a new one, I do.
Yep.
And I used to do a lot of time lapses with the iPhone
mm-hmm.
and they're great. The problem is that the old ones, you know, the batteries start fading and I was ending up having to hook it to a battery pack and put it on a stand and,
yep.
And then if it rained, God forbid, you know, you never want an iPhone out in the rain.
That's why the GoPros are nice. You just set them up and forget about it.
The GoPros are nice, but they don't capture the color.
That's true.
Which and
it's
I
a
when
washed out and...
when Carlos was on, you know, I'm having to learn because anytime you shoot in fisheye or anytime you shoot a time lapse on a GoPro, it shoots it in fisheye,
mm-hmm.
and you know if I'm setting the shot up where I'm just want really just cloud movement. So I'm just a sliver of horizon in there. The fisheye focal point is kind of right in the heart of what I want to look at.
Yeah.
So I'm really doing time lapse, and I'm almost making it half horizon, half clouds.
Right.
Because it's allowing to have a little bit more color saturation in there.
Yeah.
But it's not. You're not going to get those spectacular red sunsets with the
right,
GoPro.
Yeah. No, it's kind of it washes out the color a little bit and. Have you tried the egg timer trick? Putting a GoPro on an egg timer and letting it slowly turn?
I saw that Casey Neistat does that a lot. I have not tried that.
Yeah.
They actually, I think, make a holder now that
I'm
does
sure
that.
They do, yeah.
But yeah, Casey Neistat was a big, you know, I tried taping it too. But it's only an hour mm-hmm. where I usually do time lapse and it'll sit out there for a couple hours.
Okay, well, yeah.
So
that's a long time lapse. Yeah. I don't think I've ever shot one that long.
I set it out there and let it till the battery dies.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, I'd love to see those.
Oh, yeah. I'll send them all to you. I actually took a, it was funny. I went to a course at Dell Tech for drone to get my drone license for flying drones. And there was a guy, his name's Eric Hamm. And he works for the state police. He flies the helicopter. And he's the one that taught the course. Great guy. I didn't learn much. I mean, we became a little bit of friends through the course. But, you know, he's a state cop. So they only allow so much friendship in their life. But I was sending him a lot of time lapse because in the course, during the course, we had to learn about clouds and airspace and, you know, thunderclouds. And so when storms would come through, I'd time lapse them and send them to him. And he was using them in the class.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So. But I haven't done that lately.
He'd be an interesting guy to speak to.
I'm going to reach out to him. Yeah. In fact, I've been thinking about it, but, you know, he's a state police officer.
Yeah, you don't know how much you want to say.
Well, and and this is obviously just from an opinion, but, you know, those guys deal with a lot of shit.
Mm.
And you just can't be buddy-buddy. You know, cops are good friends with cops. Yeah. You know, they understand one another.
Right.
But he was a nice guy. I would like to him because he's a... Not only is he teaching that course, but he's, you know, he flies the trooper helicopter.
Yeah.
And he also is big into teaching courses with putting FLIR cameras on drones, you know, looking at fires, you know, all sorts of catastrophes with drones and stuff. So he's a great guy, but he was interested in the time lapse. Because, you know, if you can get, you know, watching those clouds and then turn like into the, you know, where the... It's almost like an anvil, and then it just kind of scrapes the top off, and then just, you know. But if you get all that in time lapse, it looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
People don't realize it. And also the contrails, a lot of planes in the air that people don't realize either.
Yeah, even the, you know, sometimes I do the long exposures at night. I was shooting a lot of these for a while where I go out in pitch black and leave the shutter open for 30 seconds, and you get this illuminated sky and these beautiful pictures. But I would sometimes have to edit out. There would be a line of red and green. It's an airplane traveling through the sky, but it just, you know, it's just a line about 4 inches long across the picture.
Yeah, like, it's dude, the same thing. Yeah. Screwed on my shot.
Do you mind? Yeah.
I grew up in New Mexico in Albuquerque, and we used to go to a lake called Conchas. And we'd go camping out there, and at night, I mean, the sky was full of the Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of light pollution out there.
Yeah, ideal.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We don't really see many stars here.
No. If you drive out, and even if you go out to Cape Henlopen at night, it's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. If you go up on the dunes, where you can go on the dunes, not on the actual dune itself, it's pretty good there for night photography.
Do you have a drone?
I don't. It's something I'd like to do. I shoot a bunch of real estate for realtors locally, so... it's getting to the point where I'm going to have one because, you know, it's important these days.
Then you're going to have to go get your drone license.
I'm wondering how that works because it's been inactive for many years, but I have a pilot's license.
Oh, do you?
I do. And I haven't flown in years, but I used to fly all the time and I earned a license. And so I know all about the airspace and all that kind of thing. So
you would probably do really well because I failed. You had to get a 70.
I failed my pilot's first time, too.
Well, that's different. I mean, that's a serious test.
The written test, anyway.
Well, that's what I failed. I got a 68, and you needed a 70.
Yeah.
But what I took away... So, prior to that, I was flying in... off air, I'll tell you about the website, because I did 140 videos of drone flights.
Mm-hmm.
And before I got the license, I was flying that thing all over the place. Mm. State parks, the town, across bridges, everywhere.
Right.
And I thought, well, maybe I should get my my license so that, you know, I can do this legally.
Yeah.
Well, what you find is it's almost like if I wanted to take my drone and fly it to Oklahoma.
Right.
You know, I'd have to have a flight plan.
Yep.
You know, what class bases am I going to go through? Do I need to make calls ahead of time to set up me going through them? It was all about kind of that, learning about that stuff. I'm like, well, this isn't even going to really help me because what it's telling me is that all the stuff that I've been doing is illegal.
Yeah.
And this isn't going to make it legal.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I got a 68. I could have taken it again. I probably could have passed it. It wasn't, you know, it's just those, you know, the random choice questions and they all sound good. I mean, I understood it all, right. and I definitely left the class learning a lot more, definitely more than I knew before. But it's that same kind of thing, you know, airspace. You know, if I was going to fly, you know, a long distance trip with a drone, which I would have never done, so I lost my interest. My buddy, do you know Rob Waters?
I know of him. I used to work for many years ago. I worked for Beach Life magazine for a while. I know he's tied in over there somehow.
He's a great guy. Him and I took the course together. He passed.
Yeah.
But he does a lot of real estate stuff, and I see his stuff, and it's none of the stuff that we like doing. It's like, you know, you take up and you fly backwards and just get that panoramic view of everything.
Yeah.
But, whatever. I mean, if you want to make money doing it, you got to get the license.
Yeah. And you know, drones kind of exploded onto the scene. You know, it's like all of a sudden they were everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think the laws are catching up, and pretty soon it's going to be legal to fly them almost anywhere.
Well, the law is catching up, and what's happening is that is not, I don't think, going to be the case. What's going to happen is you're not going to be able to fly it anywhere because...
Oh, that's what I mean. It's going to be so restricted.
Yeah, exactly, you know, they're all the drones are based to an app.
Yeah.
And they're all hooked to your phone, and they're all hooked to GPS, so they're all about location. And now... this drone, in fact, the one above me, the Altel drone, when I first got that thing, I could fly it so far, a mile away. I mean, I could sit by the naval jetty and I could fly that thing clear across over to like the Gordon Pond entrance.
Wow, that is far.
I could fly that whole thing.
Yeah.
And now I tried to fly it and it lost connection over this little pond right here. So they're restricting them. They're doing it through the app, which makes sense because,
you think they're actually scaling back the range on the...
Yes.
Wow.
I do.
That's interesting.
I absolutely do because I see the difference. And then my favorite drone was a Mavic Pro. If you're going to get a drone, get the Mavic.
Yeah, it's the one I have my eye on.
That thing. And the new one with the zoom camera and the different cameras that thing come, that's a great drone. My Mavic would fly probably 2 miles unrestricted, just out there.
Yeah.
And now they're not letting them do it.
Yeah.
Because anytime you have something like that, someone's going to ruin it.
I mean, and with something in the air, you could really ruin, they could do some damage.
I saw a footage of a guy flying a drone over an airliner as it passed over it.
Yeah, that's the nightmare scenario.
Yeah, that's where it gets screwy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's photography. I mean, you know, I think once that all started kind of happening and I said, you know what, I'm going to just start taking some cool pictures with my drone. Maybe not video footage of it flying, but just, you know. 200 feet.
It is cool because, you know, we're seeing this neck of the woods, Rehoboth, Lewis, and everything else does get photographed to death. It does. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, the towers on the beach and everything else. I've certainly done all that. The drone is giving everyone a new perspective of where we live. It's interesting. I look at Dewey from whatever it is, 200 feet, and you can see the ocean here and the bay here, it's a different perspective, and that's why I think it's popular as it is, you know.
Well, and there's like a lot of interesting stuff out in the marshes. You know, those ditches. You know what the ditches are?
Are they mosquito irrigation ditches? Or?
They're mosquito ditches. Yeah. I don't understand what that means. I guess maybe they gather there and then maybe the birds eat them. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not the guy.
I'm not the guy. Well, a buddy of mine, Eddie Brown, told me that those were dug like in the 50s.
Yeah.
To try to help mosquitoes or control mosquitoes.
I don't know if it's just to break up the wetland or I'm not sure what the idea is. I don't even know if it works.
Well,
they still spray out there. So.
And then the big missing holes are from the snow geese.
Is that right?
Pulling the Phragmites out by the root.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I learned that from drones.
Yeah. There you go.
What podcast do you like to listen to? You listen to a bunch?
I listen to a bunch, yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what's great about them is in the car, at home, working. I'm always listening to one. I know we have Rogan in common. I listen to his.
I love Joe Rogan.
Pretty religiously. Watch it or listen to it. One of the two.
My problem with Joe Rogan is that I watch his podcast and then I want to bring up those topics on my podcast.
I can see why, though. I mean, he has some really interesting, sometimes it's just plain silly. Sometimes they're fascinating conversations.
I'm fascinated by nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah, I find those very interesting too.
He brings some interesting people on, I watch his YouTube podcast, which is just the visual version of his audio podcast.
Yeah.
But he brings these people on, and the stuff that they talk about, I'm like, how come nobody else is figuring this out?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Rhonda Patrick.
Yeah,
he's had her on several times, and I mean,
She's a Dr. Rhonda Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a little nutty, though.
Maybe. Maybe. Well, I think all, you know, her and people like Tim Ferriss and all these people, they're using themselves as labs. They're right. trying all this stuff on themselves and reading every study. So it's good to have those people because I'm not going to read every study.
Right.
You know, and try these things on myself. So it's nice to have people that are doing that.
Well, I just watched her podcast the other day, and you don't have kids.
No.
Which you said, but as a father of kids, I can totally relate to her. The podcast I was watching was her talking about vaccines. She's not anti-vaccine, mm-hmm. but she's also not going to give her kid all the vaccines, only one at a time at a special rate in this, you know, at a certain pace.
Yeah.
And now she's talking about the plastic bottles, and I'm like, God, you know, the first kid, you're like, stay away from the litter, kitty yeah. litter, and then the second one, your kid's sitting in the kitty litter. So, you know, it's that struggle between raising you want to do the best mm-hmm. for raising a child, but then at some point, you're like, oh, my God, we all turn out pretty much fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that with almost everything now. You know, you should take a daily vitamin. You shouldn't. You should eat bacon. You shouldn't.
Do you take a daily vitamin?
I do.
Let's see, I don't.
Yeah. And I have no idea if it makes a difference. Makes me feel good.
That's the whole thing. Well, don't you eat food?
I do eat food.
Yeah.
Yes.
See.
As regularly as possible. But no, you know, I eat a lot less than I used to. And I just figured maybe I should supplement with something. So I did that. And, you know, I have friends that are taking handfuls of stuff a day. They've got their turmeric in there. Most of them are Joe Rogan fans.
Yeah.
And taking all kinds of supplements. The only thing I take is that. So.
Well, I started doing something called Just Supper.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about this.
So
yeah.
I only eat Just Supper.
Yeah.
And it's comical, the feedback that I get from people about just eating supper. Like, oh, my God, you need to eat eight small meals a day.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, well, when did we become so entitled to get so much damn food? You know, if we went back a few hundred years.
And no one else has this much food.
Nobody has this much food. What happened to the part where you go, oh, my God, I'm so hungry? I better go seek it out or, you know, and I was just talking to Dr. Pinky about it. It's like the body is designed that if you're not getting food, that it has a switch that switches over to eat the food that we've stored, which mm-hmm. is our love handles and, you know, our fat.
Right.
But we're so quick to get more food that it's forgotten.
Well, yeah, I think people, because I do a similar thing, not quite I eat lunch, but I eat very small. I never eat breakfast anymore. I eat a very, very small lunch. Today I had two eggs.
Mm, that's good.
That's the extent of my, and then I'll eat a regular dinner at night.
Well, did you see the podcast with Laird Hamilton?
Yes.
He goes, well, what's your diet, Laird? He goes, well, I'm just sticking to plants and animals.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, there it is right there. That's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, is that paleo, plants and animals?
I don't know. I think that's just human.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What I was just about to say is I think people eat on the clock more than anything else. I woke up, it's breakfast, it's noon, I eat lunch, it's 7, it's dinner.
It's habit.
It's just that's when you eat as opposed to when you're hungry.
And it's emotional.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, when I started doing, the reason I started just eating supper is because I was completely lost in the reason why I was eating at all. And of course, I know why I eat because someone told me I was supposed to,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't tell you, my body couldn't tell me why I was eating. And I was eating stuff like dinner. You know, if I eat dinner, I'm not, you know, your body will pump out a little glucose to give you some energy because you know that you've eaten, but you're not pulling that nutrition, that energy out of that, whatever it is, until for at least a little while until it starts to digest.
Process and everything else.
You know, you start using that in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if we start eating like a breakfast, and listen, if people eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, more power to you.
Yeah.
This was me. I was really, my real problem was that I was carrying a lot of weight in my intestines,
mm-hmm.
and it was making me feel fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it was making me want to diet and go crazy when the reality was I was just filling myself up with a lot of food.
Yeah.
You know.
So I imagine at this point now you probably don't even get hungry until you eat at night.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't get hungry until I eat at night.
I mean, the first week or so was, you know, a little tough, and then once
sad.
You adjust, it's...
Well, I broke up with breakfast.
Yeah.
I broke up with lunch. And in the business I'm in, which is I'm a hairdresser, you know, I'll have a client, hey, you know, have a great day, it's great seeing you, and then I'd go back to the break room and I'd grab a handful of chips or almonds or, you know, something, then I would come back out to my next client chewing, here, go grab a seat, you know. But it was like a transition.
Yeah.
You know, it took me to the next thing.
It's just what you did between clients.
Right. And so when I stopped it, I was like, gosh, I'm bored.
He's standing still.
Yeah. And I used to love making oatmeal with fresh blueberries and all this honey. I was probably making 1,000-calorie oatmeal bowl. But yeah, so it was a little sad and breaking up with all that stuff. But
do you feel better though? I mean, do you feel better now that you've been doing?
I do feel better.
Yeah.
I'm still. One of the things we used to do is we'd make a steak, and then the next day, my wife and I would cook 2 steaks. We'd usually split a steak, and then the next steak we would chop it up and make steak burritos for lunch. Leftovers.
Yeah.
Well, when you're only eating one meal. You want it to be, and I think that was the biggest thing that I took from my whole experiment with that was I started to pay attention to what I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm only going to eat one meal, it's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a steak, baked potato, butter, green beans. All of a sudden, now I could afford organic.
Yeah.
Before, I'd be like, I don't want to pay extra for organic. Right. But if I'm only going to eat one portion of vegetables, I'm going to get them organic.
Yeah.
So, I started to pay more attention. Started being curious what this food was giving me. What's this broccoli going to give me? Is it giving me vitamins? If it's only one meal, I want to get the best that I can get out of it. And that was great.
And you better enjoy it too. I mean, it better be something you love to eat.
Well, and that's the other thing. And I've gotten that from a lot of his podcasts is that, you know, we've criminalized butter. We've criminalized fat, salt, all this shit. And he did a podcast where he was talking about how, like, in late 50s, early 60s, you know, the United States decided they were going to start a war on heart disease. Mm-hmm. And the cure, the decision they finally all came up with was high-carb, low-fat diet.
Yep.
And now we're finding that's not really a great
diet.
Yeah,
the fats are apparently pretty healthy.
Fat is fuel.
Yeah.
They don't make candles out of Cheerios.
And fitness people are putting that stick of butter in their coffee in the morning now.
Absolutely.
You know, making the bulletproof and...
Well, because fat is, I mean, it's fuel. I mean, it's really, you know, sugar got us fat.
Yeah.
Not fat.
Seems that way. That seems to be the way it's gone. I mean, sugar's now the big enemy.
It's my big enemy.
But it makes sense. It just makes a ton of sense. Whereas the other thing didn't, so.
Yeah, and I've talked about it before. I'm a freaking sugar addict, and I'm good till about 9 o'clock, and then I become weak. Give me your donuts. So podcasting, Joe Rogan's great. What else do you listen to?
I love Marc Maron's show.
Yeah.
WTF. I think he's really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps even underrated. Tons of photography stuff. I like some of the true crime stuff, although I had to relax on that. I was getting paranoid.
Were you?
Well, you listen to too much of that. I mean, I really got into one show, and I was listening to a bunch of them. And after a while, you just start to think, is everyone just evil? Because it's horrific. You know, some of these stories are just horrific, and they're taking place in just regular towns and regular neighborhoods, and it's kind of scary.
It's like the CNN effect.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to fill your head up with this stuff. You know?
I always say, I remember when, you remember when the little girl fell in the well?
Yeah.
That was the changing. That, I feel like, was when really things changed because...
That's interesting, yeah.
CNN started... being on 24 hours, and then that girl fell in the well, and we were all captivated, and we all went out back to see if we had a well in our backyard because right. we didn't want to fall in it, and it made you feel like we were all, I don't know, it just made it so personal. It wasn't like something somewhere, it was like in our own backyard, and it just, it makes you feel like there's crime, you know. Now we have to, can't let our kids out anywhere. We were just up in New York City and we went to Brooklyn for a concert. And the biggest thing I was fascinated by was like all the kids walking the streets of New York City by themselves.
Yeah.
Like coming home from school.
Yeah.
Where here in little Delaware, little Rehoboth, oh, poor baby, you can't walk alone. You know, someone's going to steal you. But the big city and they're all walking, you know, obeying the stoplights and stuff and...
No, I live right in Lewis in a really, really safe place, safe neighborhood, and the school bus comes into the neighborhood and stops on the same corner and lets the kids off, and there's always 5-6 cars of people that live 3 blocks away,
right,
or 2 blocks, whatever it is, waiting for their kids, and they escort their kids home. I mean...
It's a CNN effect.
It's crazy.
Because some kid got snatched somewhere.
Yeah.
My wife was from New York, and she lives here now, and It drives me crazy. She locks the freaking car doors. And I know, listen, I know crime happens, but I'm like, who locked my goddamn car? Because I walk to it. Try to get into it. It's unlocked or it's locked. She locks everything. I'm like, Jesus. This is scary.
My girlfriend does the same. I'm always, two hands full of groceries. I want to get in the front door and it's locked. I'm like,
yeah.
Why? I have to now put everything down, get the key out.
Now, my house is locked, everybody, and it has security. So... So you feel like this podcast has kind of been there's been a void of it, and it's kind of creating a little bridge. You think you're slightly interested in even doing a podcast?
I've considered it.
If you decided you want to, I would help you.
Okay, great.
Anything I have,
I would need the help. Certainly.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly everything. You know, the funnest part for me with podcasting was the research. You know, what do I need? What kind of microphones? You know, I'm a tech guy. I like that junk. I can't afford that. Can't afford that.
Right.
So, I was able to scrape something together, and I think it sounds good, at least on the podcast. But the hardest part for me was uploading them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you all that I've learned. And if you ever want to do it and you need a guest, I'd come on. Anything cool I can do to help you. I think cooperation over competition.
Yeah.
I don't think the podcast game is a big game, but it's not big enough that I don't know. Brian Mann, he was on the podcast. He's been on twice. He heard my podcast and he's like, I want to do a podcast. Can you teach me how?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, come on the podcast and I'll teach you.
Yeah.
He's now doing Neva's Potatoes. He's working with the Big Fish Charitable Foundation. So if anybody wants to check out his podcast, it's called Neva's Potatoes.
Oh, he has one up. Cool. I'll go check it out.
Yeah, and he is I love Brian. I think he's great. He is much more like, I'll talk to him. I always, because when you start a podcast and you find someone that listens to him, I reached out to him a lot. I still call him. I'm like, because he was listening to all of them. How'd that one sound? And he would give me a lot of feedback, and which I really appreciated. But I'll talk to him. He's like, yeah, I've been practicing for hours, just talking into the microphone. I'm like, oh, you're very good. You're very professional, Brian.
The sound really is important, though, because I know, when I try out new ones, which I'm always doing, if the sound's bad, I'm done with it in a couple of minutes.
And this sounds okay for this podcast?
It does. It sounds good.
Good. Yeah, I agree. The other problem with podcasting is consistency.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Joe Rogan's. But Joe Rogan hasn't posted a podcast in
I noticed too.
A week and a half.
I think he's touring.
Is he touring?
I think so.
Well, I think he's also doing some MMA stuff, because I know when there was a big female MMA fight where the girl got kicked in the head and he was announcing it. But he also may be touring. So,
yeah.
But I'm like, oh, man. So I've been watching.
I've been doing the same thing. You get it. You're used to having it. Very spoiled because it's free.
Yeah.
And you get used to having it. And he does 3 hours at a time, which is amazing, really.
Yeah.
When it isn't there anymore, you notice.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit, where's Joe? So I think that's for me. The podcast is about being consistent. Mm-hmm. I may not have a lot of listeners, and I will tell you that I checked the thing today, and I went over 1,000.
Wow, that's great.
1,010,000.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I know that it's about trying to be consistent. So I'm trying to put them out on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the Mary Kay thing, where I've hit up all my friends and family. And now I've actually got to go find me some consultants.
Yeah.
But well, I'm having to reach out and talk to people.
Because I do listen to so many, if you wanted some more people to invite, I have some suggestions for you.
Well, listen, I appreciate that, because Carlos sends me people.
Mm-hmm.
I think people want to be on podcasts. They're just,
yeah.
The first thing they say is, I don't think I have anything to say. Yeah. I think that's my job.
Right.
Is to try to have a conversation and guide us through it and chat and just have fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about doing it for a while, and then I just said, do you know Leah Beach?
Yep.
Okay. So I decided Leah Beach should do it. I had...
I sent her... She's on my list of people to reach out because... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but she painted the mural for Ocean Glass Inn.
Yeah.
And I had the folks from Ocean Glass Inn because I saw Leah Beach painting the mural.
Yeah.
And I had them in, and they came and did the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do know who that is. She's great.
She's great, and she runs the DAC, which I was involved with very little, but I was involved with that in the very early going, and did some events with them, and she's great. And I texted her one day and said, you should do a podcast. You should be doing it. She's going to sit down and interview creative people, I think she should do it. So I've been trying to get her to do it.
Well, why don't you do it?
I don't know. We'll see.
Come on. See.
It might happen. We'll see.
Well, listen, like I said, if you ever want to do it, I got, you know, I think that it's the kind of business where you need people to help you. Like, I need your help.
Yeah.
I needed you saying thank you. That, I mean, it's that I could do 1,000 podcasts, and if I have one person say that they like it,
mm-hmm.
it just made it all worth it.
Oh, yeah.
So
I know how that feels. Yeah. I mean, even, you know, I get paid to do weddings and things, but, and that's great. But getting the email from the client that says we love this, and, you know, it's really the best part of it. It really is.
Well, and even, you know, like my buddy Matt, I remember he won the James Beard, what was it? The James Beard Humanitarian of the Year Award.
Wow.
James Beard.
Yeah.
And he was getting ready to, he called me, he's like, come over. And I was like, all right. And, because when Matt said come over, you just came over.
Yeah.
So I ran over there, and he was upstairs, and he's like looking at ties and stuff because they were going up to New York for the awards.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, let's go for a walk. And I was like, all right. So we're walking around the block, and he goes, you know, some days you just feel like they're going to figure out you don't know what the hell you're doing. I'm like,
I know that feeling.
I'm like, James, Matt, you're getting ready to go receive the James Beard Award. I think you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But we never have enough faith in ourselves, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times I've been out and worked with people taking pictures now, but I still get nervous
before I do
it, which I think I've always taken as a good sign. I think it means you want to do.
You care.
Yeah, you want to do, you know, good work. So it happens to this day. As soon as I'm working, it goes away. But before, while I'm waiting to begin, I'm always nervous.
Do you help out other photographers?
No.
You don't help them at all.
In what way?
Well, so, you know, this cooperation or cooperation over competition kind of thing
I have a bunch of friends that are in the same business as me. You know, I bring people along with me that are learning to shoot weddings with me and things like that, so they can get some practice doing that. I didn't know anybody to do that with when I started doing that, so I haven't worked with anyone else. But I try to help other people.
Like if I call you, hey, Neil, I need you to do some shots for me. I'm booked, but I know.
Oh yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it doesn't happen too often, but I have a little pool of people that if I'm not available, I can send them to other people, yeah.
Yeah, I have, you know, if someone calls me for a service that I don't provide, I always refer to another salon.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, cause you know, it should come back to you in some way or another.
It's good karma.
And that's not why you do it, but, you know, it's the way to run things, I think.
I like serenity, you know, and if I have...
A little peace of mind.
As I get older, how old are you?
41, just okay. Turned 41.
Yeah, so I'm going to be 51.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get older, I realize, you know, I talked about it earlier and we hinted at, you know, I have to kind of redefine what happiness is,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in my early part of my life, it was always about money and girls or cars or, you know, big houses. And when I realize I won't be getting the big house and all that stuff, I'm like, maybe I need to redefine what happiness is and, you know, helping others, keeping my side of the street clean.
Yeah.
As best as I can, and I'm no saint. Mm-hmm. I've got my moments, but I still try and help out.
Yeah, and that's all we can do, right? I mean, you just do your best.
And you see results of that in a small town.
Yeah.
You know, when we were up in Brooklyn for that concert, you know, it's easy to not be focused on helping others because it's such a big population of people and everyone's really doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. But around here, you know, it's hard to, you know, I could have you on the podcast and then run into you at Giant and then bullshit with you at Wawa while we fill up our cars.
Yep.
So it's, you know.
Yeah, there's no hiding here.
There's no hiding.
Which, is, you know, is good. I mean, it's, you know, keeps everyone pretty honest for the most part. The ones that aren't, they're not here anymore.
Yeah. So what's on the agenda? I mean, you got some weddings coming up. It's wedding season, right?
Yeah. I think I'm only 3 or 4 in so far this year. I'll be doing 19 this year.
Nice.
And in between that, I'm on the beach during July, August, September. I'm on the beach almost every night with a family or a couple or doing portraits out there. I have a studio at home that I work in, doing portraits. I do commercial work, so restaurants and food. So it's going to be a busy summer, I think.
Do you have a website or do you have, like, if someone wanted to...
Yeah, the website is NDP, Neil David Parrott's my initials, ndp-photography.com. And most people go to Instagram now, which is at photographyndp.
Do you post, like, cool pictures? I mean, or do you just post, like, wedding shots that you do? Do you just post your work, or do you also do, like, some personal fun stuff?
Well, I have two Instagrams, so I have my own that I just, you know, because I, even when I'm not working, I'm taking pictures of things, so.
Absolutely.
I take all my own stuff and put it on my regular Instagram, I suppose you'd call it. And then my business one is mostly portraits, weddings, and things like that. I really would like to do better at the one thing that I look at when I see my website and my social media is if you book me, probably still don't know what I look like. I don't have a whole lot of me in it. It's mm-hmm. just the work. So I think I'm learning from others and watching other people's social media that it's important to put a little more of yourself in there. So
it's funny. We, you know, with Father's Day yesterday, you know, the iPhone, I take too many pictures, but you know, there's a part where it'll bring up just people.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into like albums and it'll show you recent and like Instagram, and then it'll be one that's just people, yep. faces, and Apple will take all those faces and kind of make a video.
Yeah.
And I did one because I have two boys and a daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I did one for each of them, but I noticed I'm in all of them. I'm like, come on, kids, let's get a picture with daddy.
All selfies.
Yeah, it's all selfies, yeah. But...
do you have the selfie stick, or are you just running with the arm?
I do it with the arm. But I love my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I've set my Facebook up in a way that it only brings me happiness and joy.
That's important.
It is.
I had to figure that out too. And it, you know, with all the social media, one of the nicest things Facebook ever did was allow you to unfollow, but not unfriend. So you could, you know, you didn't have to go through the awkwardness of unfriending people. You can just unfollow them and never see their content.
Well, I unfriend them because honestly, they're not my friend. And I just unfriend them, and that's fine.
See, I have this strange thing sometimes where I worry that everyone is a potential client.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say anything, you know, on social media. I don't want to do that anyway. I don't want to, you know, I used to do that. I used to post about whatever I was thinking about or politics or anything else. And a couple of years ago, I just completely stopped doing it.
No, and I get that. And I also get that everyone's a potential client. I don't put stuff on my Facebook. And I friended you, I think. We're friends on Facebook. And you...
think so. Yeah,
yeah, I sent
right.
you a friend
yes,
request.
Yes.
I don't. I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook is me documenting my life. So one day maybe my kids can go back through it. I go back through it. I think it's just for me. If someone wants to... enjoy that with me. That's great.
Yeah.
If you're going to criticize me or give me flack about taking pictures of food,
mm-hmm.
I'm deleting you.
Yeah. <That's> just, fair enough.
You know? I mean, why aggravate them?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, mine at this point is pictures I took or something I think is funny. That's
yeah.
mostly it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've removed any person that brings anxiety to my Facebook.
Yeah.
And now I have a pleasant Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really... I like Instagram. I don't really like Instagram as much as I used to
because
I feel like it's... We went on a honeymoon to Mexico, and you would not believe... Oh, my God, the people. All they do, it's like two guys and 10, you know, beautiful European women,
right.
And all they do is sit there and just take pictures of
yeah.
themselves in bikinis
yeah.
and these photo sessions over at, for an hour, 2 hours of mm-hmm. the same... wave, same girl, same thong.
Yeah.
And I was just, it's just become...
It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Because the idea is to portray yourself as having an amazing life.
Right.
But you're in the meantime, you're not living a moment of it.
Nope.
Because you're busy with your phones. And
that's
the,
right.
Yeah.
But the idea is to get a lot of likes and then they start putting in products.
Yeah.
And...
what we call influencers these days.
They're influencers. Well, everyone wants to be an influencer.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
It's become a career goal for...
It's insane because yeah. there's no happiness in it.
It's shallow. Yeah,
it is a shallow happiness.
Pretty vapid.
The only problem is I don't think you can understand that until you get older.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's half, you know, as you get older, life changes, you go through it, you go, wow, that was exhausting. I didn't really get a lot out of it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, you say you take a bunch of selfies. I always blamed it on my age, but one of the things about being more visible on my own social media is turning my camera around and putting it on me, and I'm completely uncomfortable doing that.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, you know, but I see younger people in their 20s and younger, there's zero discomfort in putting themselves on film and then putting it out in the world.
Well, I think if, I think there's a difference between humanizing yourself and then like becoming or appearing or portraying yourself as something different than what really are.
Yeah.
I think that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I, you know.
You won't see me on a skateboard.
Right. Yeah. No, I, you know, I was thinking along the lines of behind the scenes of shoots and,
absolutely.
You know, just making short little videos with clients and things like that. You know, that's as far as I'm willing to go with it.
Well, and in your business, and in, even in my business, you know, I can take 100 pictures, but it's the word of mouth.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, when I first opened the salon, we loaded this place up with, we took pictures of everything. We did videos, and we had a lot of fun. But really, it's about, you know, word of mouth.
Absolutely.
And time, you
know.
Yeah,
I mean, I wish I knew what the percentage was, but word of mouth is the significant bulk of my business for sure.
And time, because, you know, how many people are a photographer for the summer? And then realize it's you know, I kind of compare it to real estate. You remember like in 97 when the boom and everybody became a real estate agent, you'd have to have something seriously wrong with you to not be able to sell a house.
Yeah.
And then the boom fell, everything kind of fell through, and then reality came back and it kind of, the cream rose to the top.
Yep.
And I think that probably happens with photography.
Maybe. I still feel like there's a billion real estate agents here.
There is.
But
and no criticizing them. I mean, it's a if you're a real estate agent, you're it's a gig. I mean, it's a lot
no
of work.
There's no shortage of people coming here, so you know.
No, exactly.
Lost my train of thought there, but it, you know,
you were just about to talk about how many freaking photographers
there
are.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and I love I actually like it when I'm out and about and I see someone with a, you know, a decent camera making images. Just as a hobby, like I like that. It's how I started. It wasn't my idea to become a photographer. It was, you know, I was posting all these pictures, and then someone eventually said, "Would you take pictures of my kids, my engagement?" That's how it began. You know, so I like it when I see people taking pictures and making good pictures. And but there is a, yeah, I mean, there's definitely. I was complaining about this the other day. I think that we have these community Facebook pages, like who would you refer and Sussex and things like that. And someone will say, "I want." You know, a photographer for family pictures, 500 names, which I'm always, someone's always kind enough to put my name in, but there's 500 names and you start going through the names and you realize that there's a lot of them are just people that own a camera.
Right. Well, it's funny. People will spend thousands of dollars on a wedding. And then when it comes to the photographer, they get cheap.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I got a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. There is quite a bit of that, but you know, I always say that's not your client. I mean, your client knows the difference.
Yep.
And luckily enough, there's enough of them that I'm able to make a living doing this. So.
Well, I would say that I've been married a couple of times. And the first time we had the big wedding photographer, and he did a fantastic job. The second time, my wife's brother did it. And he did okay.
Yeah.
Third time, we just took a couple of pictures of the iPhone and moved on.
Yeah, I mean... And that's not unusual. I've worked a few second weddings, and it's always, we need you for 2 hours. The first wedding, it's I'm there for 9 hours, 10 hours. You know, from the minute they wake up, I'm shooting them till they go to bed. But the second weddings are always, we just need a few pictures.
Just capture a few pictures for us, please.
Which is understandable. You know, once people have been through that once, I don't think they want to all the stress of the first wedding.
So when are we starting your podcast? I'm ready.
You ready to go?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
I have one of these.
So you do?
I'm on my way if I have that.
Well, I had one of those. I have that one, but I have another one that is amped, and I'm pointing at a mixing board. It's a little mixing board.
Yeah.
And I had one that was amped that I used for karaoke at our house, which, you know, runs PA speakers for the most part. I'm like, well, I got that. I can use it, but it made a lot of sound.
Yeah.
Hummed.
See, that's right. Mine's about four times the size of that and old, so it might not be
probably not
suitable.
But you know, the I mean, that thing I think was like $75.
Oh, really?
It's not even that expensive.
No.
And then
these are the mics are the expensive thing, right?
These are not. These are are not expensive.
No.
Nope. In fact, I just bought another one right there. I think it was $26.
Wow. That was cheap. I didn't realize it'd be that cheap.
But you know, there's You can make noises. I mean, they're not perfect. They're like Joe Rogan. He's got those great blue mics.
Yeah.
I'd love to get those at $350 a piece.
Sure. Well, you'd love to have his advertisers too.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and we don't do, in fact, I was just talking to someone. They're like, what's a podcast cost? I said, it's free.
Yep.
But yeah, it's not that expensive. And it's, the hard part, like I said, is just finding people to talk to. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find a bunch in the beginning and then you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh God. And you start stressing out.
What's nice for you is this is pretty open-ended.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can really speak to anyone. But and I suppose it's
multiple times.
Do people say no? I mean, is that what's happening? Or
No. It's not that they say no. They say they don't have anything to, they don't think they have anything to say.
Yeah.
Or
I mean,
think,
I felt that way when you suggested I come on. I was like, well, I mean, I'm happy to. I don't know what we'll get into.
The thing is that people also think that, and this is kind of the world that we live in, and even like when I asked Preston, he goes, I had to go listen to your podcast to make sure you weren't setting me up for some sort of attack. And I'm like, bro, I would never do that. I would never do that. And so I think people are nervous. They just don't. First of all, it's not live.
Yeah.
We record it. But I think they think they're going to be put in. I think, especially if I had you on and I started rattling off like camera questions, you know, and you're like, oh God, I hadn't thought about that. I mean, let me get out my book. Yeah. You know, they don't want to be put on the spot.
Yeah.
But I'm not smart enough to put people on the spot. I just like just bullshitting with people and having fun. And, you know, I told like the lady from Smoking D's who's going to come on, you know, we can talk for an hour and a half and not even talk about barbecue. I mean, really, it's the journey, you know, that step.
Yeah.
You know, the fear.
Yep.
And then once you have success, then all of a sudden you're grinding it out. You're working.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that the part you really love, or was it that scary, you know, first step?
Yeah, I don't, you know, for me, I don't think I'm far enough from the
first
beginning
step.
To really take it in. But I really like now. I really like that it's busy. You know, there's something to do every day.
Yeah.
I was telling my girlfriend recently that I could remember, you know, I would tell her, I booked a shoot today. And she'd say, oh, wow, that's great, you know. Now if I told her every time I booked something, it's all we would talk about, you know, because it's almost every day that something gets booked. So it's funny how far it's come in a short period of time. But I'm really enjoying the now part of it. It's really going well. And, you know, it doesn't come without its... You worry, you know, you
absolutely.
Always worry, but
try having three kids.
Yeah, no, I don't think I will.
Well, I mean, I said that as a joke, but it, you know, my kids are a gift for me, at least.
Of course, yeah, of course.
They keep
I
me
actually
moving.
Love kids. I spent a good chunk of the weekend playing with all my friends' kids, but then they took them home with them, and
away they went.
Yeah.
Well, the, I was talking about this earlier. You know, I love the challenge, I love the start, I love the steepness, and then when it pillow, you know, kind of mellows out, levels mm-hmm. out. I get, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, I built a, that's what you can do. You can download my social media app.
You have an app?
I do. So I decided, and we won't, because we already went over an hour, so we won't.
We
keep
did?
This part. Yeah.
Wow.
But I started, I was like, I like Facebook, but why can't I start my own Facebook?
Yeah.
So I hired some people and we built a social media app and it runs and it's really about promoting small town.
So is that where the Rehoboth Social name, it was the app chicken or the egg, which came first?
The app is called Rehoboth Social.
But did it come before this?
It did.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm doing now is I have an app and it on the app and you can see it. It has 10 groups, beaches, dining, activities, photography is mm-hmm. one of them, volunteering, vlogs, I forget, stage, I think, is the other one. So what I'm now doing is I take, like, this podcast will mm-hmm. be posted in the photography group on the Rehoboth Social app. And it'll have a link, and you can watch the podcast right there through the app.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And the app is cool because you can post pictures. It runs like an Instagram. Mm-hmm. You only post one picture. But, you know, I like going out to dinner. I like taking pictures of my food. I like posting it. People go, why do you do that? I go, I don't know. I like it. Shut up. It's what I do. I don't care.
Yeah.
I think food is art, but you know the problem is that Facebook does such a great job, and I love Facebook.
Yeah,
but you know you got to find something with something you make. So that's kind of what I'm doing now with it. Is it's you know I don't track anybody. There's no data being gathered or anything like that.
That's more attractive these days, the way things are going. So
yeah, but it's a fun little app. And then, you know, people, you can post pictures, you can post videos, you can do whatever you want. It has messaging, and then I also built in a thing called a local button. So like, let's say you wanted to do a photography special for the week or mm-hmm. something, and you just wanted to reach out to the locals.
Yep.
You can do a post, hey, I'm doing, whatever photography special you may do in that business, and say, you know, I'm offering this for the week, and then you hit the local button, and then you determine the radius of miles that the post goes out. So oh, cool. You set it, and you say, I want it to only go out 15 miles.
Yeah.
So it only goes out 15 miles from where you're posting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really reaching just local people.
Yeah.
Where if people like in D.C. were following you, but they're not coming down, they're going to be in D.C. for however long, they wouldn't get the post because it wouldn't really be relevant to them.
Yeah,
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, so, and you can also, when you come into town, if you hit the local button, you can only see the things that are being posted locally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great app. I think it'd be a great app for like a big restaurant group.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great app for like a country club where they just want to have a social site just for their members.
Yeah.
I think it allows, you know, like if a country club was to use it, I think one of the biggest problems I have today with social media or this kind of stuff is creating value for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people like a chef or a manager or something, you know, they are what they are. And then if something doesn't go well, they just get, you know, they can be fired,
yeah.
You know, for no reason or, you know, probably a reason, but... But if someone is like, you know, hey, this is what we're doing, we're pairing this with this, you know, and really reaching out to the membership starts feeling like the chef is really working at it,
mm-hmm.
creating value. Maybe he's more into like keeping his job or doing great at it.
A little more engaged.
Yeah, or a golf pro or something like, or a photographer. So that's kind of how it started. But
I'll have to get it.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah. Post your stuff on there.
I will, for sure.
All right, buddy. Well, we went over an hour.
Wow. That happened quickly.
Yeah, that's what she said. Sorry.
Well, if you get really desperate, I'll come back. We'll do it again.
Dude, let's just have you. I'll call you. We'll have you back next month. We'll do it again.
I think it takes me 5 minutes to get here, so I'm always available.
You're a nice guy, and I appreciate it. That was a nice conversation, and I would not be desperate to have you back. It'd be a pleasure and an honor to have you back. So
thank
I appreciate
you,
it, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I'll get all the information from you, but when I post the podcast, I'll put your website and the link. And
great.
If anything I can do to give you a hand, I will do.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Great talking.
Good chatting.
See you.
All right, brother.